From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans of the Bleed Blue Show. This is Knickerbocker Avenue Fan. We'll get into some of the rest of the Knick players tonight on As Platform. BleedBlueShow.com is our website, audio archive episodes, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the New York Knicks on Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram. Avenue! What's up, bro? How's everything, man?
What's going on, Steve, man? I'm pretty sure you caught my tweet earlier. I got a lot of things on my mind right now. Just whenever you're ready, let me unload, bro.
All right, cool. That's fine with me, man. Let's get other stakeholders on, get the intros going on, and then go ahead and fire off, and we'll get this thing cracking. You know what? Shout out to Don, man. I hope all is well with you, brother, down there in North Carolina, man. Don, what's going on? Everything.
Good evening, Steve Knickerbocker. It's all good right now, Steve.
Good. Everything's all right with you? You and the family, is all right?
Yes, sir. Thanks for reaching out, Steve.
Oh, anytime, man. And shout outs to everybody out there in the Carolinas throughout that Hurricane Florence, man. Just be safe, man. I mean, this natural, you know, this weather stuff is crazy. I'm going to sit back. Go ahead, Abby. If you want to sound off on whatever is on your mind, please feel free.
All right, I got two major things I want to get off my mind. The first thing is non-Knicks related. Steve, you and me, and Dom, you can chime in on this. I'm pretty sure you watch it as well. Saturday night's big, epic rematch between Triple G and Canelo. I'm sorry, dude, but I still don't understand. I'm still buzzing on this idea because for me, on what planet did Canelo win this fight? I just don't see it. For the second straight fight, Triple G is denied a victory. So, to me, it's like, it's almost a conspiracy to me because, like they are making sure that we pay, you know, the $85, $90 on pay-per-view to watch Triple G Canelo 3. Because Triple G won that fight again. I don't know how you felt about it. I scored that fight eight rounds to four. Clearly a victory for Triple G. I mean, you can go 7-5 because there were some questionable rounds here and there, but Triple G still won the fight. I'm not going up on how many power shots Canelo had. I'm not going up about the way that Triple G looked at the end of the fight. But the reason why this man freaking walked out of the ring, didn't want to take any interviews, and when they announced the winner, Canelo was like so surprised and happy that he was announced the winner. That to me just tells you that not even Canelo himself believed that he beat Triple G on Saturday night. I'm sorry, you can't convince me otherwise.
Dominic, if you have anything to chime in on the fight last Saturday, feel free. I don't have a clue if you saw the fight. What's your thoughts, if you have any, on boxing?
Unfortunately, guys, that was one of the 4 days I was without power.
Damn.
that's quite understandable.
And what Knickerbocker Ave is saying, because I still have my iPads, I would charge them in the car, but exactly what Knickerbocker Ave is saying, I heard people saying the next morning, and Knickerbocker Ave is right. And you know what, Steve? I just started getting back into boxing. But what Knickerbocker Ave is saying is right. Here we go. They're going to rope us in to pay for another pay-per-view, and we're going to get the same result, or okay, now this guy's up 2-1. Oh, this guy's going to get a chance. It's never going to stop. This is how they get us. It's sad, but it's true. I mean, I read about it, though, Knickerbocker Ave. And I don't think I heard one person saying Triple G didn't win.
Avenue, I'm in 200%
agreement. That's just from a perspective.
Yeah, Ave, I'm in 200% in agreement with you. Matter of fact, I even stated on social media, Triple G won the fight, and this is before the judges, the cards were, they announced the scorecards on the judges' cards. This is right after the fight just ended after the 12th round. I said, Triple G won, the judges are about to screw him, and that's exactly what happened. I had it 7-5. I had that fight 7-5. I thought through the first six rounds, I thought it was about 4-2 Canelo, and then or you could even go up to 5-1. But everything after the sixth round was definitely Triple G, man. But people are trying to justify his face beat up, which is it's a fallacy because a lot of that damage was what Canelo was doing early in the rounds, early in the fight, and a lot of the power shots were early in the fight as well. So it's a real disparity to say, okay, well, he did land the more the power shots, talking about Canelo. But if you're talking about straight winning rounds, straight on a winning rounds level, outside of power shots, just jabs and just actually who had the more rallies. I counted two rallies for Triple G since the sixth round, none for Canelo at all. He didn't have no rally at all. Like, you know, when you have somebody kind of on the ropes as far as about to turn the tide of the fight and get knocked out. I didn't see none of that from Canelo after the sixth round. I didn't even see that all fight. He just hit him with good shots before the sixth round. But I'm with you, Av. I mean, there's nothing you said I don't disagree with. But, you have a lot of people saying Canelo. I respect their opinion. But totally disagree with it because I saw what you saw, Avenue. I'm with Triple G. Not that I don't have a favoritism to either fighter. I'm just being objective. Triple G won that fight to me, 7-5.
And see, that's kind of how I looked at it. I mean, I think that the way that the judges scored it was that how many times did Triple G rile the crowd and how many times did Canelo rile the crowd? Well, that's kind of a hard thing to really, like, you know, judge, considering that it's on Mexican Independence Day. It's in Las Vegas, which is a lot closer to Mexico than it is to Kazakhstan. So the Triple G fans, a lot of them either – you know, just didn't go to the fight or were a lot more observant and whatnot. And that's the part that really upset me about that whole fight. I lost a bet, which I gladly paid. But the problem is that I don't agree. I don't believe that most of the people that were cheering for Canelo were feeling very confident going into the decision. And after that first judge was announced and they announced it as a draw, I knew something was up. I knew that there was something going on. You mean to tell me that after 24 rounds of boxing, you really couldn't see that Triple G put a hurting on Canelo to the point that Canelo, even though he fought more aggressively in this second fight, he did change his strategy and he did connect. Don't get me wrong. He connected on a lot of great shots. But to me, he did not win this fight. I'm sorry. He won some rounds. He won more rounds than he did in the first fight. But he still didn't win the fight. He didn't do what was necessary for me. And going into the 11th and 12th round, I was thinking to myself, in order for Canelo to win, he has to knock him out. He has to. And he didn't do that. He didn't even – I don't even think he landed more than two shots a round for him to say that he can actually say that he definitively beat Gennady Golovkin and to give him his first loss of his career and to take his championships. That's the parts where I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I agree with you, bro. I definitely agree.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that I've gotten that, you know, that huge monkey off my back, let's talk about the New York Knicks. As most of us know, this past week, the Knicks held a town hall meeting, with general manager Scott Perry, president Steve Mills, and the new head coach Fizdale.
The annual
lip service. And you know what? I've never been to one of these events. I've always wanted to go. But the way that this whole situation – first, I want to explain how the whole situation is. First, you're going up to the Hulu Theater. That's the theater in Madison Square Garden. And, you get your ticket, and then you go for your seating. There is no really assigned seating because the place didn't get packed. Obviously, not many people knew about it or not many people were able to make it. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you notice as you're walking in, if you follow social media and you follow a lot of other Knicks pages other than mine and OmniFan and whatever, you'll start to recognize a few faces. You'll recognize guys like Anthony Donahue, like Greg Armstrong, the season ticket holders, the ones that, I know you and me will go at odds about this, Steve, but I guess what the Knicks and the organization considers the diehard fan. The season ticket holders are all seated in one special section. Everybody else sits everywhere else, including the reporters. Mike Breen, goes goes through a couple of questions, and I'm sure if you haven't watched it, I advise you to watch it. It's on the Knicks Facebook page, on their social media, and you can watch the whole thing. The questions that were being asked told me absolutely nothing about what we're expected to see. I guess they knew that I was coming prepared with questions or whatever. But after the first lady who asked the question, you know, who had basically an essay written for it, and then of course the season ticket holders, you know, asking the very vague and generic questions that I've ever heard, not saying anything about, you know, what kind of offense we're going to run, what kind of schemes we can run. Of course, they talked about a little bit about free agency, but you know, of course, they can't name names because of NBA policies and whatnot. But that was the most vanilla, generic lip service I've ever heard, more than the press conferences that we have already heard. To me, David Fizdale, Scott Perry, Steve Mills, and I'm going to fault Mike Green on this, told me nothing. It was another bit of lip service of the same thing. These guys are working hard. These guys are great people. You know, when we drafted Kevin Knox, that was our first pick because we were going through all these guys and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, can you tell me what's going on? You know, can you verify the Noah situation? Can you verify what's going on with Courtney Lee now that's been reported that he wants to be traded, even though he denies it? There's all these other situations going on, and you want to, and you, it's like you really want to ask them, what is it the Knicks are going to do next year? Because those are things that, you know, they're very important to see if you are a real New York Knicks fan. I'm not saying that the fans who ask questions are not real Knicks fans. They are. They absolutely are. They put forth the investment of being season ticket holders, some people for 44 years, some for 26, some for 15, whatever the case may be. But the questions that were asked were like the vanilla, generic lip service that we're so used to hearing. And basically, they talked a lot without saying nothing, and that's something that has to be changed. Because my biggest question to them is kind of the same questions that we run, amongst ourselves: who's going to be the go-to guy? What kind of atmosphere are you really going to try to build? You know, who's your locker room leader? What kind of offense are we going to run? What kind of things we're going to do? I mean, the only thing that I really learned from that whole situation is that Frank Ntilikina added, you know, game 15, whoopsie freaking do. So he had a couple of more, you know, French toasts for breakfast than usual. Aside from that, I don't know what's going on with this team. And it was really an hour wasted, you know, going up to the Garden. You got to see, you know, guys like John Starks and Charles Smith, Herb Williams, John Wallace, and Rod Strickland. You know, those are cool to see, but don't you see them at Knicks games now? I mean, at this point, I don't know what the Knicks are really going to do, and it really does bother me that by your definition, Steve, the diehard fans, the season ticket holder fans, did not ask them the proper questions. The essay lady, the first lady to ask the essay long question, she probably gave you like the best question of the whole group. Not Donahue, not Greg, not anybody else. That was the best question, and that was the only real question. I don't know, Steve.
You know what, Don? I want you to chime in with what Ash said as far as this Knicks town hall. And then, if you want to do, we can do a impromptu town hall tonight. How it should have went. We can do that tonight. I could play the role of answering questions on what we should expect or really expect based off what actions and moves happen. But Don, you first on what Av said. I'll chime into Av, and then we could do improv on this tonight, and then also talk a little bit of Dodson, Cornette, and a couple of two NBA teams. But Don, you first.
Here's the thing, guys. And first of all, I got to thank y'all, because without y'all on Facebook and all that stuff, I would have probably lost my mind. Because believe me, I stood patient for like 3.5 days. That fourth day, the power didn't come on until about 10 o'clock on the fourth day at night. During the day of that fourth day, that's when I started going off the rope. But I would read your little Facebook thing, Steve, get a laugh. I actually watched Knickerbocker Ave. He had his little Facebook Live. I watched that. But here's the funny thing about the Knicks, guys, and we say this all the time. I don't think I ever seen an organization, forgive me for saying this, that has been so inept for 20 years and never seems to have any kind of concern about the fans. And we know why that's so. Because guess what, guys? In those 20 years of ineptness, they still sell out the Garden. So it's almost like they don't owe us answers. They don't owe us a plan. They don't owe us a vision. Because people are still going to show up. It's the guys like us that are real fans that, you know, live and die with this stuff. You know, all the misery we've been through, Stephen. Me and you had this conversation on that stakeholder spotlight. That they don't never think about us and what we invest in them. They just look at, it's another season, we're going to sell out, we're going to make our money, we're going to sell some gear, and we hope we do better than last year. And when you keep saying that, better than last year, when last year was a fiasco, the year before that was a fiasco, what are you telling us as fans? We're going to try not to have a fiasco this year? You know, a simple question would have been, what are we doing going forward? We don't got to get into every position, point guard, center. Just what are we doing going forward? And, guys, you know what's ironic about what Knickerbocker Ave said? We've been talking about this for 4 months. You know, the pipe dreams with Fizdale. Not knocking him, guys. You got to give him a chance. But the pipe dreams and this and that, but now's the time to put up or shut up. And for nobody to ask a simple question like, what's our vision going forward? Other than we got some good draft picks, we're going to try. No, you know, we just want to know a vision, Steve. Again, I always look at it and it's not fair. I always look at my loyalty to the Knicks and my loyalty to the Yankees. And I know they're apples and oranges. But when you see the Yankees, you see a plan. You see a vision. And I get a little upset with some of the fans on social media with the live and die right now with the Yankees because they don't see the vision. Again, Steve, we even had this conversation. This isn't a one-year plan with the Yankees. You look at that roster, that age, those positions. You see this for a good 5-6 years down the road. If we don't hit pay dirt this year, then we're going to be that much more deadlier next year. Because now these guys got more time, more situations. This isn't a one-year plan. We don't go into the season every year like the Knicks thinking, what draft pick are we going to get? Then we go to the pipe dreams of free agents. We don't do that no more with the Yankees. At least I don't. With the team the Yankees have right now, I see where we're going. With the Knicks, I see, is Burke going to be here after this? Is Moutier going to be here after this? Where's Noah going? You know what, guys, in the last 5 to 6 years, I probably scratch my head and think, is Fizdale going to be here? Because this is our makeup. This is simply our makeup. And they almost give me the impression where they don't care what we say, what questions we ask, because we're the Knicks, we're going to sell out. And that part right there hurts as a fan, because all you put into a team, you expect some return. You don't go to the gas station and ask for $2 worth of gas and they give you $1.10. No, that don't happen in real life, but it happens with the Knicks. So it's sad, but I actually watched some of your little. And you know what? I do watch the Knick page, too. And I was a little – it's almost like a dog and pony show, guys, to be quite honest. It's another year, another dog and pony show. And I have a little more oomph in me this year with what the Knicks have and where they're possibly going. But then there's the question marks. Who's going to play point guard? Is Moody and Burke going to be here after this year? How's this kid Robinson going to work out? Are they going to lose patience in him? And then we keep reinventing the wheel every year. That part's getting to be just ridiculous, guys, over the last 5 years. That's all I got to say about that, Steve. It's atrocious.
you know, Don, you kind of said some parts how this should have went. See, they're not going to be honest. They're not going to be 100% real. You know, like you said, Dom, as far as, you know, we thank you for coming out to our town hall. We thank you for taking your money. We thank you for being extremely loyal, blindly loyal. We thank you for all the tickets that we sold to you guys, and you guys continue to come to the Garden no matter how much horse crap we put out there on the court. We thank you for that. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, man. We're Knicks fans, man. No doubt, man. All day, every day, man. See, the thing is, you know what? We're going to still sell out the Garden. We're going to still get people to come out 19,000 strong, win or lose. It is what it is. We're going to, no matter what, by the All-Star break, we'll be 10, 12 games out of it. We'll probably be 4 or 5 games behind the A spot in the East. And we don't really have a plan. We have just a bunch of athletes. We just have guards that we're going to just plug and play. Whoever has the hot hand, we're going to roll with. That's the Knicks plan right there. Any questions from the audience? Knickerbocker Avenue. Any questions for Knicks executives? Go ahead and fire away, Knickerbocker. I got your questions. Town hall.
I guess my biggest question is, like, it's been the question that I've been posing for the last 2 or 3 shows now. Who is the go-to guy? Who is, you know, what kind of offense are you running, and who's going to be the focal point? Because that's the one, I mean, that's what every team kind of really needs. Yes.
So what was the politically correct answer they gave on that?
They didn't give one. because no one would ask that question. No one would ask those questions.
Well, the answer is Tim Hardaway Jr. This year is Tim Hardaway
right.
Jr. That's the answer.
And that would be my, you know, my brain fart in the wind kind of answer is it's got to be Tim Hardaway Jr. He's the next leading scorer.
Yeah. Correct.
A question was asked or was kind of referenced is that, you know, who's going to be like the leader of the team with KP gone? Fizdale kind of shrugged off the question by saying that he's going to let the guys work that out. And I guess that's okay, you know, for the time being, considering that, the state of the team and what the actual goal is going forward. But you would still like to know is like who's going to be the guy that you're going to be featuring on offense instead of just keep on talking about how, you know, Frank gained 15 pounds and how Kevin Knox works really hard and is a really nice kid, or that Mitchell Robinson works hard and he's also a very nice kid. And I mean, you expect those kind of situations to be more insider friendly. And I didn't get that sense at all. I felt like I was just watching, like I'm in the audience of a taping of, like, you know, SportsCenter or some shit. And that's the part that kind of upsets me the most. I guess my biggest question is that, well, someone did ask is like, you know, what position, you know, do they feel that needs more depth or more work on? And again, Fizdale kind of shrugs it off. He says specifically that, you know, since he's the kind of player that doesn't, you know, define people by positions, is in the same breath will tell you that Courtney Lee is too small to run alongside Tim Hardaway Jr. at times, you know, in the starting lineup. Go figure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know what?
Well, the position that needs depth is that answer will probably be power forward. If we're going to be honest, if we had to pick it, it has to be power forward because O'Quinn left.
I would say
no
power forward or center.
Either or. I mean, for tomato model, whatever, same shit. End of the day,
right.
So,
and really, I guess like the biggest question, and I think that, you know, any Knicks fan, you know, would really want the down and right answer to is that. What is what is Fizdale's remedy to transition points and transition defense? Because the Knicks ranked last in among the last in transition on the fast break points, and ranked dead last in fast break defense. Now, fast break defense, I mean anybody can fall last to, because, you know, when you're in a fast break 3-on-1, that's bound to happen, but. How are you going to limit turnovers? How are you going to limit, you know, silly fouls? How are you going to limit all these other discrepancies that the New York Knicks are notorious for getting called on and pointed out to? Because all everybody ever looks at is the players. Oh, this player's not doing this. This player's not doing that. How about as a team? You know, do you hope that this team, you know, would be top five in shots blocked? Do you think that this team could be, you know, the top 10 in, you know, limit in turnovers? Can you at least improve on the fast break?
We'll try.
Those are the kind of questions that I would like to stump them on, because those are questions that, I'm sorry, Steve Mills can't answer that question. Scott Perry can't answer that question. Only Fizdale can. Given Fizdale only has a couple of months with these guys, I don't know how many freaking practices he's actually set down. I mean, he spent like a good 15 minutes talking about Porzingis and the flight he took to Latvia to go see him. And in that conversation, maybe out of the 24, 48, 36 hours that he was up there, they spent maybe less than a half hour on basketball. That's to me. I mean, a given. I understand you have to get to know the guy, but don't you think that, I don't know, you're a basketball coach, he's a basketball player, you're a star basketball player on a basketball team, maybe you should talk about, I don't know, basketball? I mean, those are kind of things, those are discrepancies that I...
Not necessarily.
Exactly. That, and I'm like, well, what are you telling me? You're just feeding me words and hoping to God, and you're hoping to God that I don't understand them or I'm not paying attention. I pay attention. I'm sorry.
Dominic, anything you'd like to add to what Knickerbocker Avenue said, and then I'll chime in, then we'll get to a couple of players, and then onward.
Here's where the Knicks get us, guys. Take everything Knickerbocker Avenue was saying. They're not hearing that. You know what they're hearing? They're hearing the squirmers. Will Porzingis stay? What will we do with Porzingis? Will he stay healthy? So he stays healthy for the half a season. The Knicks re-signed him. 75% of Knicks fans are happy. We kept Porzingis. He's our big piece moving forward. So here they go again. They got you. They got you where they want you. Then they put out the good words of, well, you don't know if it's them. That's what I hate about the NBA and their off-season rumors. Oh, the Knicks are going to go after free agents this year. Okay, I think we heard that story a couple of times. So why bother asking that question? You know, and I understand you can't talk about that. But just a blanket statement, the Knicks are going to be looking into the free agent market this year, which, again, brings me to how the Knicks seem to feed off of social media, because now you've got this frenzy of, oh, Jimmy Butler is wanting out of Minnesota. Then you got the other Knicks fans that'll say, oh, we're not going to do the Melo thing and trade all our assets for him, and we'll wait till he becomes a free agent. Well, you know what? If you want him that bad, because whatever team does land him in a trade, he's going to agree to that trade. So that means he's going to agree to stay with that team. He's going to sign a contract. So how bad are you really targeting? And I'm just using that name, Steve. Butler. It could be anybody. It could be Kyrie Irving doing his, I don't want to be in Boston no more. So now they got to trade him before his contract is up. If these are your targets, then you may have to forfeit a couple of players, because he's not going to be a free agent next year. Whatever team he goes to, he's going to stay with that team, because he's going to make that part of the deal. So, again, the Knicks give us little crumbs, and then we run with them. And then hopefully we don't fall off as bad again. But if history repeats itself and we end up that bad, then they know what Knicks fans are going to say. Now we'll start debating the draft pick, where we fall in the draft lottery or the draft order. So they almost have us at their beck and we're at their beck and call because of the shit we say. Because I know they listen to social media. And that's why they don't have to get too involved personally with fans. They read this, they see that, they hear the mumblings and the rumblings. So now they just use that against us. Watch, guys. I mean, mark my words. This is why I don't get caught up in a player. Because as much as I loved Greg Bird on the Yankees, if Voight is playing better than him, which he is, then he plays. So you don't get caught up in that who we want, who we're going to get. This guy's my favorite. Like, we can't live without Porzingis. If the Knicks don't sign Porzingis, he goes somewhere else. That's going to be the biggest thing to happen to us since Ewan left. Bullshit. Ewan put in his work. He put in his blood and sweat with the New York Knicks. Porzingis has it. So let's not go down that slippery slope. But this is where they got us, guys. They got us right around their hip. We react. They sit back and say, eh, smoke and mirrors. You know, we're going to look into this. Our priority is to sign Porzingis. Because they're thinking in the back of their head, like, oh, man, everybody's going to go bonkers. If we don't put that on the other side, Steve, they're still thinking, man, you know what? Even if we lose Porzingis, we're still going to sell out. We're still going to be the Knicks at the Garden, fans in the seats, and the wheels on the bus go round and round. Until they could actually prove they can do, no matter what we say, what questions we ask, the proof is going to be in the pudding in about 6 weeks. The proof is going to be in the pudding with Fizdale in about 6 weeks. And then Perry and Mills, they're going to be on the clock again. You know, they've been on the clock, especially Perry. I mean, Mills, he's been on the clock. Matter of fact, his clock has done stopped ticking. But we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. They're on the clock again. And then come January, February, we'll be debating draft picks. We'll be watching a handful of college games, or you'll get all your so-called college basketball gurus who watch YouTube figuring out what pick we should try to get next year. And then wake me up, guys, and I'll end it here. Wake me up when that pattern changes. I don't care who the coach is, who the general manager is, who the president is. Wake me up when all of that changes. And then maybe I'll say, all right. Until then, it's the same horse and pony, lip service, smoke and mirrors the Knicks have been giving us for the last 5-6 years with Mills, with Perry, with Phil Jackson, with the six coaches we had. Every coach that came in was going to be a lifesaver, and they lasted a year. Come on, wake me up when this starts to change.
Well, my thing is this, guys. You got to take a realistic approach to this. This roster, at best, is an 8 seed at its highest ceiling. And then it's minute by minute, each quarter, maximum effort. If you're going to have an identity, and they said they're going to preach defense, I want to see a lot more perimeter execution on the defense, no possessions off, or, you know, sometimes it is human where people do take a possession off here and there, but don't do it all game long. You know what I'm saying? So when it comes to the Knicks, it's really about what's their identity, or where is the identity going to in the near future? And they try to emphasize defense and also conditioning. So to play defense and stretch the ball as far as up and down fast breaks, you have to be in tip-top condition. So that remains to be seen. We got to see that in like preseason, some little bit of a glimpse. You know, we can see all the Instagram videos on one-on-one workouts in your local YMCA, but that really doesn't mean nothing to me at the end of the day. It really is about how they're going to come this together with a game plan at the Knicks Center. And as far as putting this together, as far as in the preseason, staying with the lip service. The town hall was just pretty much a dog and pony show. I mean, we Knicks fans did not need to go there to know what was going to be said or have an idea of what they were not going to say. So that's just the game they played to the fans. You know, they catered to them. It is what it is. I'll say it like this when it comes to the Knicks this year. If I got consistent point guard play, you know, limit the turnovers as best as you can. If you could keep it down to like 10 a game. So let's say about 2.5 a quarter. That's not great, but it's a step in the right direction, because that's showing a consciousness of taking care of the basketball. If the Knicks can keep the basketball as far as limiting the turnovers, that's a start to as far as valuing possessions. And, you know, a lot of these stats as far as when it comes to the advanced stats in particular, like, the Knicks are really, really bad. I mean, I'm kind of more of an old school statistician, but when I even look into the new stuff, the Knicks don't value possessions. the last couple of years. I like to see that. But you gotta have the point guard with the right mindset, and it has to be a guy like Trey Burke. He has to lead the charge. The ball's got to be in his hands. Now, he could be a little bit of turnover prone too as well, but we always talk about Tim Hardaway Jr. He could be a little wild with the basketball. And, you know, Kevin Knox in college, he's been wild with the basketball. So I don't really see it, but if we could get it down to 10, I'd be happy with that as far as the possession-by-possession effort. Now, as far as man-to-man defense and switching off, I know they're going to have their times where they're switching off the top of pick and rolls at the top of the key on the wings. So they're going to have to do a good job of communication. And as we, like we talked about on the Mitchell Robinson episode, is about rim protector, the guy who's going to be back there to alter shots. We didn't have that before. You know, whenever he comes into the game. And also, even when Cancer came in the trade last year with Carmelo, defensive rebound in a way is kind of a win. You win in a possession. Like if the guy doesn't score two or three, you clear out a defensive rebound. And Enes Kanter and Kyle O'Quinn, we've done a better job with that than the last several years. So we were in a step in the right direction with that. So if we could build on that, limiting turnovers, maybe you could get a couple blocks here and there, draw some fouls, things like that. No, and here's another thing. Before we go on, the Knicks are they were really petty or really chippy with. They had a lot of chip fouls. They got to clean that up. You know, a guy like Frank Ntilikina, he's a type of guy he'll reach a lot. He'll go get out of the game with two early fouls. We got to cut that out too as well, man. We got to have some of these guys stay on the court, man. You can't reach a guy. You got to slide your feet, man. It's old school defense, man. Av, anything else you'd like to add? I want to get your thoughts, Av, on Cornett and Dotson. I know we talked about Dotson in the summer league, but what's your thoughts about Cornett as well? As far as to me, almost in that poor man's Kristaps Porzingis role this year. Maybe not to the level of talent as a Porzingis, but they're not. You know, they kind of they're tall, they can shoot. They'll go down in the post when they have to. But what are your thoughts on Dotson and Cornett, man? And then get Dom's thoughts as well.
Before I get on the players, I'd like to commend you on that one crown jewel thing that you did say: defensive rebounds and chip fouls. Those are things to me that are highly essential, especially in the NBA when you're trying to limit the amount of possessions and the amount of scoring opportunities you have for the opposition. If you could secure the defensive rebound. And I mean, because offensive rebounding, you know, you have Kanter, but Kanter can't play 48 minutes and becomes a defensive liability at times. And if he's the only one attacking the boards, then, you know, we have a problem. We should have at least three or four guys all attacking the boards at all times. And that comes with conditioning. That comes with, training schematics and whatnot. But those are two very huge things that you hit on that would be that would at least make the Knicks somewhat resembling a team with developing an identity, because that's something that we haven't had, from the Mike Woodson, carrying on the D'Antoni offense and defense to the Phil Jackson era to whatever the hell Jeff Hornacek was running last year. That's something that Fizdale kind of has to reinstill back into the team. You know, forget about the culture and all this stuff. Let's just get back to, like, the basic fundamentals of basketball. And then maybe we can start talking about culture. Culture comes with, setting forth an example. But Damian Dotson, I really like this. I hope that he gets a lot more minutes this year than he did last year. We start seeing – what he can do, towards the latter end of the season. He takes a little bit more, a little bit more chances with his shot, because he does have a killer shot, and when he's in the flow of the offense, he can be, a deadly spot-up shooter when given the chance. But not only that, he's still able enough to get down low and be somewhat of a defensive deterrent. He has the body. I mean, he's, 6'4", 190 pounds or something like that, maybe a little bit more. He's a guy that, he needs to definitely improve on his defense and continue to have that confidence in that shot of his, and be more of a very good, you know, two guard that comes off the bench. Because even if the Courtney Lee trade talks are true, you know, that would make him the next guy in line to take Courtney Lee's spot. And that's something that, you know, to me, it's the perfect opportunity for him to show that, you know, you guys, there's a lot of teams made a big mistake passing him up and letting him fall down to the second round. Because I thought that he would at least be like late first round, but whatever. I'm hoping to see, you know, some kind of improvement in the same way that everyone's looking at Frank. I'm looking at Dotson and hoping that he gets the quality minutes, you know, 15, 20 minutes a game. Should be enough, especially if you're trying to limit, unnecessary minutes given to, you know, to certain players. Luke Kornet, I mean, we didn't get to see a lot of him last season because he came up from Westchester, but I think you're right. He kind of does kind of step into that Porzingis role a little bit because he's tall. He is athletic. He does have a shot. He can be an outside threat, He is capable of posting guys up because he's done it a few times here and there. So I think that he can be a very versatile player, and especially in the idea of David Fizdale, where he's not going to, you know, confine someone to a specific position or mold. It would make the most sense for him to kind of step into that Porzingis role. So that way, when Porzingis does come, now you got a twin tower situation or a triple tower situation, where you got a Kornet, you got a Porzingis, you still have Kanter, and then and occasionally you're going to have Mitchell Robinson, who are all guys who are, you know, over 6 feet, 9, 7 feet, you know, close to that range. In the case of Kornet and Porzingis, you have inside outside. With Robinson and Kanter, you have strictly inside muscle guys who will be rim protecting, and that's, you know, a great thing, a great weapon to have. I'm not talking like, you know, this team can possibly contend for the championship, but they can at least turn more heads towards the Knicks. So that way when we occasionally get that, you know, the ABC or ESPN nationally televised game, those guys are prominently featured correctly, and then the Knicks can then also build up their own status among the league. Because, I mean, I'm sure you remember when national networks were freaking calling off Knicks games because they just didn't want to see them anymore. This is – if you get those guys right and those guys, you know, really put forth the effort, because Kornet is – I mean, he's still pretty young. I think he's, what, 24, I think it is, maybe even younger. He's capable. He has his shot. He can post up a guy a couple of times. He can use his size advantage like a true legitimate big man. And he can be a great breather for Kanter, especially if you want to go small. You can slip him into that center role, and be a much more up and down running athletic team, in theory. Just like Don Quixote was saying, the truth will be in the pudding. So we'll see what happens. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what Dotson can do. Kornet, you know, he got his contract. Let's see what he does with it. I'm only hoping for good things to come from those two players specifically.
All right, cool. Dominic, what's your thoughts?
The sad thing with both of these guys, fellas, is they're all in log jam positions. Like Dotson, let's say the Knicks do part ways with Lee. You still have, depending on what the Knicks do, again, we don't know. But you still have want to mix and match him with a point guard and Ntilikina, or two point guards and Ntilikina, or Ntilikina at the point guard and the other. They're both in log jam positions. Kornet, you know, he's got Mario ahead of him. Kanter, Robinson, you know, I understand competition may breed better success, but unfortunately, these guys are in the log jam positions, whether you put Dotson at a small forward, which he's no little kid, he's 6'5", 210, but will he match up against small forwards, especially the way the NBA is now? There's some small forwards that are 6'7", 6'8", you know, because they're shooters. That's the unfortunate thing with these two guys. And then a guy like Dotson has become a decent January to April player because he's not playing in no meaningful games because he's getting a lot of burn when the Knicks are really out of it. So, again, we're not seeing how good these guys could possibly be because we're never in the right position to test their will, to test what they really have. That's the real sad oxymoron with the Knicks. I like Dotson, don't get me wrong. I just think he's in the wrong position on the Knicks with the log jam we got at the mixing and matching point guards, small guards, going super small with maybe Burke, Ntilikina, and Hardaway. So, and Cornette, you know, is he a victim of staying 4 years in college? You know, we've seen that all too many times. Probably the last guy that had a so far decent NBA career that's done 4 years is the kid on the Hornets, Kaminsky. It's like this is a stigma with guys that stay in college for 4 years. You know, I just think if the Knicks didn't have a log jam at those positions, because like when you think about it, guys, what are these guys going to get on a good day, a good week? 6 minutes, 8 minutes, and hopefully most of that's, well, if it is garbage time, hopefully we're on the giving end of the garbage time. But again, we're not going to ever test these guys' will and real ball playing until we're in the position to where we're a contending, not contending for a championship, but at least a playoff spot. These guys, especially Dotson, we've seen this, you know, last year, everybody going off the reservation of how great he is, but he's playing in games that where, you know, the white flag has been out for a month. I want to see these guys in meaningful games. But again, I hate to beat a dead horse. Unfortunately, their position may not give them the opportunity to be in a meaningful game. So it's kind of hard to have a measuring stick on them. So, like I said, even if Courtney Lee leaves, whose minutes does he take? Again, let's see what they're going to do. Are they going to go super small? These are things that we're going to find out, hopefully, in, what, maybe 6 weeks when the season starts. Then we'll see exactly what plan Fizdale has. And is Dotson in his plan? I'm assuming we're going to have a roster spot if they let Noah go. So that means what spot are they going to fill with that? Are they going to fill it with another shooting guard, another small forward? You know, it's hard. And I can't imagine what they're going through, you know, because they want to play. They're in the NBA. They want to play. I just think they're in a bad position on the Knicks.
All right. Let's bring Sim into the conversation. And then also, I want to get you guys' thoughts on the Pacers and the Denver Nuggets, Indiana Pacers, Denver Nuggets. And Sim, if you could do that for us, what's your thoughts on the Knicks this offseason headed into camp and preseason? We're talking a little bit of Cornette and Dotson, but anything else you'd like to add of any other player on this roster? And also your thoughts on the Pacers and the Nuggets, and we'll get those thoughts from Av and Dom as well and go around for final thoughts after that. Welcome back, Sim. Thought he was there. All right, maybe he wasn't there. All right.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go. What's up, man?
My bad, y'all. I pulled the big one on you. I apologize.
All good, all good.
But, no, I was saying that, you know, what Dom was saying is true, man. It's just a log jam that they happen to be behind. I think, well, with KP being injured, it might give Cornette a little bit more time because Robinson is going to play, but I can't see him playing more than 10 minutes a night because, I mean, let's be real. He hasn't played competitive 5-on-5 basketball in a year, so. And summer league was any indication, he's going to be in foul trouble a lot this year as he learns the pro game and go up against grown men that know how to, you know, initiate contact and how to get you off your feet, being that you're a shot blocker. So I could kind of see Cornette getting some minutes, especially with O'Quinn not being here, no longer being here, and with KP being hurt. At worst, he can probably get some minutes behind Cantor at the five, and maybe even if you want to go to a big lineup, you can play him at the four a little bit if need be. Dotson is really the one that is going to be hard, man, because like you said, like Dom said, is Ntilikina playing off the ball sometimes, and then you still got Hardaway Jr., you still got Lee. You know, they're going to probably want to find minutes for Lance Thomas as a small ball four, maybe as a three when you got to go up against dudes like LeBron and Durant and them guys. So it's going to be kind of hard to see where he can get in there. But, I mean, he got good size, 6'5", 210, and he got a smooth shooting stroke. I think if he can be more consistent with his jump shot, because his form is nice, isn't it? It's not like he out here shooting like Lonzo Ball. Like, he has a pretty good form. It looks nice and smooth and easy. It's just he's not hitting the perimeter shot as consistently as he did in college. You know, he did have the 30-point game, so you kind of see a little glimpse of maybe what he could be as a rotation dude. But like John said, man, you got to play him when the games mean something in November and December, and not just play him from February to April when you out of it and you wave the white flag. Now, my hope is, being that Fizdale just got here and he knows he's probably got at least 3 years, he's not going to be afraid to play the young guys. You knew Hornacek wasn't going to really play the young guys last year because he was pretty much coaching for his job, and he figured he was just going to go with the vets because the vets gave him a better chance to win. He was sadly mistaken on that, but I kind of see the rationale that he had behind it. And they just let Dotson and Cornette and Ntilikina, let the young guys, Knox and Robinson, let them play through their mistakes, man. Don't yank them the minute they make a mistake and then you sit them on the bench, you know, for the remainder of the game until you need, like, a defensive stop or something. They're out of the flow of the game, and now you want to bring them in the last couple of minutes when you need certain things done. Like, all the teams that are good now, like the Golden States and all those, they let them guys play and they let them just work through their mistakes. So now it's up and running like a well-oiled machine. So there Monday, Perry and Mills said they're not skipping steps. If you're not skipping steps, then one of the steps that you can skip is player development, and you got to let them young guys play. That's the only way they're going to develop. So hopefully, you know, Lee sits on the bench. You know, you keep Lance Thomas on the bench a little bit, and you just play the young guys, man, and live with the mistakes. And you know how I felt about it all these years, Steve. I can accept the mistakes being made from young players who just don't have experience in the NBA. I can't stomach dudes that have been in the NBA 7, 8, 9 years making the mistakes that first and second year players are supposed to make. That's, to me, that's unacceptable. So if they make the mistake, I'm willing to live with it, like I said, because they're young and they're getting the NBA legs underneath them. So hopefully management will stay out of the way. They'll let the coach, and they'll let him set the rotation the way he wants to set the rotation. You know, he says he's coming in with an open mind, and, you know, nothing is a secure spot, which I believe. You know, I think the only person pretty much that has a secure spot in that starting lineup in the rotation would be Porzingis if he was healthy. Everybody else, you gotta earn what you want. So hopefully, you know, they can do that. And speaking of blueprint, man, I mean, shit, you could look at Denver. You said you wanted to talk about the Nuggets, Steve. They built the draft pretty good. They did it through the draft pretty good. And, you know, Indiana did it with drafting Miles Turner and a couple of guys. But when they really swung that trade for Oladipo, man, that's the type of trade that you need to make as a GM. You catch a guy who didn't really fulfill his potential, but you see it and you know it's there, and you see if you can strike gold. And damn, that trade ended up striking gold for them. I remember people was laughing at the GM saying that they got fleeced for Paul George, and by the end of the year, they wasn't saying that when they seen Oladipo and Sabonis in the playoffs. So as long as we can have some competent management and our coach can put it together, you know, then we could do something. But I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not going to go off the reservation. I'm like, nah, man, you got to show me. And I want to see some meaningful games for this team after January, because it seems like they're going to tank every January.
Right, right. Sim, thank you very much on that, man. Your thoughts, about, if you could, real quick, because we got about – 3 minutes left. So if you could just your thoughts on the Pacers and the Nuggets, same with Ab and Rob. Paige and Dominic.
I'm sorry, Steve. I was saying that I had it on mute. I'm sorry. The Pacers and the Nuggets are almost like a mirror image of each other. They got youth. They got some athleticism. And you know what? In the NBA, especially for me who pays for league pass, they're fun to watch. And like Sim said, everybody thought they got fleeced. But they got Oladipo, and that's all he needed was a chance. And he got his chance. And guess what? The throw-in piece, Sabonis, is a pretty damn good ball player too. So those two teams are actually fun to watch. And this is what strikes me bizarre when I think about them and the Knicks. You look at their rosters. They're good rosters. And if the Knicks roster was, which is close, don't get me wrong, guys, I think the Knicks could fight for a playoff spot. But when you look at it man for man, talent for talent, with Porzingis being in the lineup, you got to ask yourself, why can't we be like them? They don't have an abundance of talent. They don't have a big 3, 4, 5, but they're fun to watch, and they come out with energy. And guess what? So far, so good. So that's my take on them without dragging it out. I wish both of them luck because, believe me, guys, when you buy league pass, especially Denver, they come on a little later. There's some fun games to watch.
All right, man. Dominic, thank you very much on that. Av, you too, man. Your final thoughts, Knicks, Pacers, and Nuggets, and then we're out.
The Indiana Pacers, they're definitely shoo-in in this week Eastern Conference. You know, after they acquired Oladipo, they were, you know, that's where they ended up being. I like what the Indiana Pacers are doing, even though to me they're still a rival, you know, from the 90s, but. I like how they built their team. You know, they were okay letting go Paul George, and they didn't panic. They stayed the course, and they made the right moves to make, you know, to continue to keep themselves in, at least in a competitive spot. So that, you know, unfortunately they're in Indianapolis, so you know it's not the most attractive destination, you know, for free agency. But you know they're a really well run organization. They don't panic. They stay the course. They don't make a lot of huge culture shocks and movements. And I see, you know, with the players that, you know, that they were able to, you know, to you know, retain, and some of the small little pieces that they've made so far. I think that they're shoo-in to be in the Eastern Conference playoff race. I don't know, maybe a 5 seed. The Denver Nuggets. You would think that after trading Carmelo Anthony that they would probably won't see the light of day for a long time, and they did. You know, they struggled, but they pretty much kind of like, you know, turned the corner for me. You know, keeping Jokic, you know, they still have Millsap. You know, they have all these key, you know, these key core players, and then they're adding complementary pieces around that. And, you know, just like Dom said, they are mirror images, the Pacers and the Nuggets. One's a little bit more up and down. One's more a little bit defensive heavy. One's a little bit more star-driven, while the other one's more, you know, team-oriented. But I'm pretty sure that the Pacers are going to end up with a better record considering they're in the Eastern Conference, and they won't see the Western Conference teams as much. But both these two teams, if you have the league pass, I recommend you do go see them. They're fun to watch. They're what you would hope the Knicks would be after a certain, you know, after so many years of Phil Jackson, but it never came to fruition. And that's not because of management. That's because Phil kept on hitting the reset button. My final thought, Steve, I'm sorry that I wasted an hour of my life for lip service. It felt like a corporate retreat for a company I didn't work for. That's what it felt like. It felt like I was talking to my CEO and stuff, and he's just giving me projections and graphs. And when I have a question, he apparently doesn't answer it. However, I encourage all the listeners to continue to go to theomnifan.com and look at details on how you can prove that you're the ultimate Knicks fan. All the details are on that website. There's a scoreboard going on. I believe our Bleed Blue sister Anna is on this. She's like in the top five or top six, and she, slowly but surely, you know, someone's got to go. Someone's got to beat Jay Nick. That's all I got to say. I believe I already won this, but apparently I don't qualify because I technically kind of work for Omnisan, whatever the case may be. But go there, check it out. Also, check out the T-shirts, the you know the Blood, Sweat, and Tears, the 90s Knicks roster tees, and of course, coming soon, you know, the Knickerbocker ad designs of that T-shirt. I'm not sure when they come out, but they keep on telling me it's coming out. And that's it, man. Sangre de Sue, Bleed Blue all day, every day. I'm glad the Yankees are kicking ass right now. They're keeping the Red Sox from clinching the AL East. That's all I have to see. Just beat the Red Sox.
Amen to that. Real quick, because we're out of time, man. I'll probably wait on these teams later on. But Sim, at the top, we talked about Triple G, Canelo. Who you thought won the fight? Because we're out of time, but I just want to get your opinion. Because I don't even know who won that fight.
I mean, I had Triple G winning that fight. I had him winning it at least 8-4. I had him winning 8-4. I could see it being 7-5, but I don't know, man. To me, giving Canelo the decision didn't make sense if it was a draw the first fight, because
correct.
You should have gave Triple G the first fight, because then at least if you give Canelo this fight, it makes sense because you're saying, well, they did it this way to set up the trilogy. But who wants to really see a third fight? Because then after the third fight, they're going to have a fourth fight.
Fourth fight.
Triple G wins it back. Okay, you're 1-1 with the draw. So you're still going to have to get two more fights out of this. So I don't know. Maybe that was their plan to try to see if they could drag it out and get an additional couple of fights. I'm interested in seeing the Povetkin-Joshua fight this weekend. A lot of people
right.
just overlooking Povetkin. Well, that
dude, oh, no. Don't
man,
do that.
He got a lot of amateur fights. And, I mean, his only
former champ
was the prime Vladimir Klitschko back when he was still that guy. That Klitschko, with 1 foot in the rocking chair, dropped Joshua and almost got him out of there. I'm looking at Povetkin like, he's about 34, 35, but that's a young 34, 35. And he definitely got the power to check your chin, so he better
be
careful.
Oh, yes, he does.
Because I know if he loses this fight somehow, you watch how fast he runs to make that fight with Deontay Wilder, because now he's going to really need him for that fight for his legacy. So I pretty much think Eddie Hearn is trying to hide his cash cow.
Thank you for saying
the way that,
this is
yeah,
Eddie Hearn.
That,
this is all Eddie Hearn. This is all Eddie Hearn, man.
Look, Eddie Hearn is doing what De La Hoya
Eddie
was
Hearn
doing
does.
With Canelo. He was doing
right.
what De La Hoya did with Canelo before he was forced to put him in there with Mayweather, because we all knew Canelo was never getting the payday like he was going to get without facing Mayweather unless he faced Pacquiao. So he had no choice but to put him in that fight. But it took him so many years to get the fight with Triple G, like, you know, that he wanted to wait for him to get old and slow down a little bit, because when he was really walking through the middleweight division, you know, it is what it is. But at this point, I know they're going to have a rematch, but I would rather Canelo go up against Danny Jacobs, and I would rather see him go up against, I don't know if it's Jermell or Jamal, but whichever Charlo.
Yeah,
Charlo
twin. Oh, yeah,
I
absolutely.
I want to go up against them, because that's a young, hungry cat. And
they're lying,
I think,
man.
He would give him a lot of a challenge. And, you know, the only other fight I want to see, I don't know how it's going to come to fruition, but I want to see Errol Spence go up against Bud Crawford.
Bud Crawford.
Those are the only two guys that got competition for them, for each other, in that weight division. Because I think
right.
He's going to clean out Thurman. Porter is just a guy. Garcia is not that dude. He's been fighting a bunch of slappies. So all roads going to point to them two, and then maybe, you know, the winner moves up. I can see Spence moving up because he's the bigger guy. I really don't think Spence is going to get a challenge until he moves to 154. That's just me personally.
Right, right. Yeah, that's going to be tough between the ESPN and Showtime, but that's going to take a while, man. You're going to work those contracts. We're out of time, yo, guys. Dominic and the Sim, Knickerbocker Avenue. This episode will be on BleedBlueShow.com, the new BleedBlueShow.com, and of course on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher apps. I'm going to get about to get cut off. Sangre also, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.